On the coast of Southern California, you can only surf. Party. And make love for so long before it's time to go to work.
Rock and roll.
27 banks in 3 years.
Everybody freeze!
Anything to catch the perfect wave.
I'm not a crook.
Patrick Swayze.
Fear causes hesitation, and hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true.
Keanu Reeves.
You think I joined the FBI to learn to surf?
Point Break.
Adios, amigo!
You're just yum, dumb, and full of cum.
Yeah, do you know what? The subtitles were wrong on this.
What'd it say?
It said young, dumb, and full of cam.
I guess they couldn't.
And I was like huh.
No,
no,
that's not
quite
as good.
I don't think that's what he said.
No.
I don't think that's what he said. But shout out to Jude on YouTube, who uploaded the full movie for his 15 subscribers, because you cannot watch this in the UK.
Really?
Yeah, it's nowhere.
Fascinating.
Apart from Jude's YouTube channel.
No kidding. It is so weird when random movies are on YouTube.
Yeah, and this guy's, it's got like 6,000 views. He's got 15 subscribers. Like, it's got a few comments like, thank you so much for uploading this.
It's the whole movie.
Got the subtitles, everything. Obviously, they're not super accurate, but they're there. Yeah.
They're there. That's true. Okay, interesting. All right. Well, that's unfortunate. There were several lines that I could have done. Could have done the big ones that we'll get through. Another one was, so hungry I could eat the ass end of a dead rhino.
Yeah, I went to write that one down as well. Like, never heard that. Is that
no.
like a common saying in
no,
the States?
No, no. Oh, no. That's a brand new sentence right there. Okay. That has never been uttered before this movie as he just chomps down on this meatball sub. We are here on the path for Point Break 1991, not the remake, which I've heard is just disastrous. Maybe sometime we'll do a bad remakes month or something and cover that one.
That's a good idea. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, bad remakes would be one. Bad sequels is always something there. You know,
bad
some kind
prequel.
Of themes. Bad prequels. There's a bunch of those. Prequels are always shite. But I am trying to get as much energy as I can. Cam. See, now you got that in my head. It's like cam. Cam. Because it's the day after St. Paddy's Day, and I was walking all over Dallas in the rain, and I am white.
Yeah, I was saying earlier that nobody quite celebrates St. Patrick's Day like the Americans do.
Like Americans. Same as like Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo is going to come up May 5th. It's like a Mexican holiday. It's like Mexicans don't give a shit about that. That's just for Americans to drink margaritas and have another taco night.
I feel like we need to start celebrating the 4th of July over here or something.
Well, that'd be weird.
You guys do that big already.
But that'd be weird to celebrate something that your country lost, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I get if it's St. Patrick's, there's a lot of Irish Americans, hence why they do it. A lot of Mexican Americans. Mm-hmm. Obviously, America being a, quote, melting pot. Yeah, that'd be interesting of just celebrating.
I'm going to start setting off fireworks on the 4th of July and everyone be like, huh?
What if you just make it like an ironic thing?
Yeah.
And you take it back and just to annoy Americans.
Do it better.
Yeah, red, white, and blue flags, colors are the same.
We'll start dyeing our rivers all those colors and stuff like you guys do.
Yeah, there you go. Just dye it red.
That's crazy. Like, how do they do that?
How do they dye it?
Yeah.
Like Chicago. Did you see Chicago? They always do it green.
I think it's Chicago's and New York, maybe. I don't know.
Chicago always does it green because it goes right through like the city. And they just, I think it's just a shit ton of food coloring.
Wow, the fish must be like, it's that time of the year again.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's always one of the things too. It's just like, it's not poisoning the water or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
I think they'd still do it even if it was.
Possibly, yeah. But it's worth saying that we're very ahead with our recordings. So by the time this episode goes out, it will be anywhere near St. Patrick's Day.
It is literally St. Patrick's Day today. It is March 17th, Sunday, March 17th. So yeah, we are way ahead out of here. Actually, when people hear this, I will be 40. It'll be after
my birthday,
which is still like 10 days away. This is actually going to be the one that comes out like 3 days after. So in the future.
Happy
what
birthday,
if I
future
die?
Bread.
Yeah, what if I die before?
Do you want me to still post the episode?
Yes, because then it'll be like I never
post-tumous.
Got to 40. Yes, I'm talking about being 40 when it's like, nah, motherfucker didn't make it.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, well, what's going to happen? What's the worst that can happen? I die? Oh, I guess that is. I guess that is in there. Speaking of not fearing death, hey, Point Break, Bodhi.
Yay.
All right, so make sure you stick around to the end of the episode. As always, we give you the movie for next week, as well as the new theme, because we will be hitting up April. Yeah. Our Patreon episode for Oscar month is American Beauty. I should also mention, this is obviously not an Oscar-winning movie, but we'll get to that when we get to the director. So if you're confused that this is Oscar month, we'll explain why. But some people in our Discord already figured it out based on the director. So as always, email us, podonthepath@gmail.com. Questions, comments, suggestions, anything you want mentioned about a previous episode, upcoming, whatever. Any questions, anything like that to ask us, we will answer. Again, patreon.com/onthepath, American Beauty, other stuff. Check out all the other links, Discord. Especially check out that Discord if you're playing the game Helldivers 2.
We have we are becoming
an active Helldivers 2 community. So if you are playing that game, jump with the Discord. We're all trying to play together. I think they're fixing the problems they've had with the friends list.
I think a good thing as well is a lot of people maybe play games like that but don't have a squad. And I swear every morning I wake up and people are in the Discord asking who wants to play, who wants to play. So if you're looking for teammates, we got you. Like, they're in there ready to dive in.
Yeah, and morning, night, all over, like, times.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I can't figure out some people's sleeping schedule if there is one. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Overnight working and all that there. So yeah, make sure you check that out. Rate and review also wherever you hear, listen, get your pods from. Okay, let's get to guessing the gross here. All right, this is 1991.
Yep,
my budget.
Before I was even thought of.
Before you were taught. Well, maybe thought of, but.
I was maybe thought of.
Yeah, as in, like, we're going to have someone. Maybe you were just a thought in your parents' head. A notion there. All right, so this is budgeted at $24 million in 1991 money.
That's quite respectable. I think they did a good job with that budget.
Yeah.
I feel like this probably did really well. I actually don't know, though. It's kind of like we were talking earlier. It's kind of a classic action film. But did it start like that out of the gate, or did it become like a cult after a while, you know, when people really started loving Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze? I'm going to say it made 100 mil.
83.5 million.
Ah, pretty good job.
That's almost quintuple its, or a little under that. Yeah, no, that's over tripling its budget. Yeah, that's great. It's also back when, if you made $100 million, it was like, whoa.
That was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a very good guess, I think, because I'm kind of in the same boat when it comes to now. The tomato meter was this movie well received back then? It's obviously well received now. Afterwards, it's a classic. It's 1991, but my God, this is as 80s as any action movie has ever felt.
It really is. Some of the stuff that was happening, it completely took me off guard, whereas I was sat with my head in my hands, like, what is going on? This is mental, and I don't know how he's going to get out of this. Like, they did a great job, I think.
Oh, yeah, it was excellent. And we will get to that director. With this, I'm going to wait until you give the little critic synopsis here.
Okay, I kind of love this one. It's pretty short, but they say, absurd, over the top, and often wildly entertaining, Point Break is here to show you that the human spirit is still alive.
Okay, so that means it's positive. That means it's way positive. Okay, and that's what I didn't know, if this was actually going to be received as like a dumb action movie.
Yeah.
Because it's trying to be deep at times, but it's like, nah, you're a stupid fucking action movie, and Bodhi and all that. So I am going to go, I was thinking about the 60s. I think I'm going to go into the 70s now. I'm going to go 73.
Okay. Well, it had 76 reviews from the critics, so not that many, and it got around 70%. That's pretty good guess.
Yeah, as always, dancing around it. Okay, I wasn't going to go 70, though. I was thinking like 72 to 73. But okay, I will take that. I'll take that.
Yeah, it's not certified fresh, but it is a nice red tomato.
Okay. What does that to be certified fresh?
I don't know.
I think it's 80.
Maybe it's
75 or 80. Okay. All right, let's go to the audience, which has to be higher.
Yeah, so they've got over 100,000 ratings from audience members on Rotten Tomatoes.
I feel like a movie like this, God, it's got to be up there. Fuck it. I'm going 90%.
Ooh, very ambitious. It got scored a modest 79.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it would have been higher from the audience.
Yeah, obviously, I thought it would have been a lot higher. I thought it would have been like 90. Yeah, because this was like a, it's not just a classic in that sense. I think people that love this movie really fucking love it. So maybe that's what I was being biased by, that that all I hear about it is people that loved it. But
yeah, I never really heard much about this film apart from the references that are made to it in Hot Fuzz.
There's, yeah.
That's the link that I know about it.
Yeah, there's a ton. I think you'll honestly notice maybe more 90s to 2000s TV shows. You'll see the homages to
it.
Oh,
okay.
Like, you'll just start to see certain things. I think that, like, the President Masks, now you can probably think of a lot of shows
see
that have
in
it.
Baby Driver and everywhere,
Yep, see that in a lot. I'm pretty sure that's where this started. I might be just talking out of my ass there that maybe this got it from somewhere else, but I don't know. This is what I always think of when I think of the, like, President's Masks.
Yeah, definitely.
Doing it. All right. So that is it for that part. Let's get into the director here. So the reason why we chose this is directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who was the first woman to ever win a Best Director Oscar, which she did for 2008's The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, she won so many awards for this film. I was scrolling through her Wikipedia and you just keep scrolling. It's like, 1-1-1-1-1 best director in pretty much every single award show you can think of, including the BAFTAs, including the Alliance of Women Film Journalists. Just, she really, really made history with this film.
You're talking about the Point Break?
No,
I'm the Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker.
But that's what I thought, because you said this film. And I was like, wait, I was like, wait, I thought we were talking about the Hurt Locker, and then
Hurt Locker,
Yeah, no,
she made history with Point Break in my eyes, but The Hurt Locker is her award-winning movie.
Oh, of course. And I'll say, I was pretty into movies, especially at that time, a little before. I didn't really, like, know of her name. And I didn't realize that she was married to James Cameron, who...
Yeah, she was one of his five wives.
Yeah, he kind of he kind of rolls through them there. They were married when this movie was released.
Yes. And, well, they got divorced that year.
And like when it got released, when it was later that year they got divorced.
They got divorced in 1991. So maybe this film was the beginning of the end for them.
So when this movie came out, it was number four at the box office for that weekend. Number one that weekend was James Cameron's Terminator 2.
No.
Maybe that's what did it.
Maybe that is what did it. That was the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, this was, and I think it was Terminator 2's second week. And then this was fourth. 101 Dalmatians in a re-release beat this out.
Okay, fair enough.
I know, it's just like, well, I was probably, no, I don't know if I would have gotten seen that. I was like seven when this came out. And I guess I didn't say that either. I'm positive I saw this movie back in high school. I know that I have not seen it since then, but there's so many clips I've seen that I'd forgotten so much.
Yeah, I have never seen any of this film before, apart from the one clip of it that they show in Hot Fuzz.
The yelling, goes, shooting,
no!
And then he does
back, back, back. And then he
does it again.
So good.
Yeah, Kathryn Bigelow, big time director, big time action director, really bucking that trend, because I was like, a woman directing action?
I know. Go you. I love this for her.
Yeah, no, great director right there. This was written by W. Peter Iliff, who I had never heard of. But he did write Varsity Blues, which we 100% will be watching that on here, because it's Texas high school football.
Is it? Okay, yeah. I was about to say, I've never seen it before.
It's James Vanderbeek in like 2000, maybe like 2001, but it's this West Texas. It is the most egregious Texas accents, or attempts at Texas accents. It's just good old boy Texas high school football. It is terrible, and I've probably seen it 30 times.
Perfect. It sounds like the ideal podcast episode, doesn't it?
Ideal one. Yes, it absolutely is. So I will never need to have my arm twisted to rewatch Varsity Blues to do it. But I want you to look up this guy's, if you have IMDb up, I want you to pull up that guy's IMDb and look at his fucking bio picture.
Who's he called? Sorry?
W. Peter Iliff. Yeah, so just go to like the Point Break. Yeah, go to the Point Break.
Oh, I see him. Yeah.
Do you see that?
Is this a cigar in his mouth?
Yeah, he's got a cigar in his mouth. He just looks like he's fueled by cocaine.
He really does.
He's got a cigar in his mouth. He's got this shit-eating grin like he's about to tell some like 19-year-old she has to take her top off for him to cast her in something.
This is starting to make sense now, this movie.
Absolutely. In Varsity Blues as well. So much of it makes sense that he did that. It's exactly what you would think of the person who wrote this movie, what they would look like. So listeners, y'all go pull that up. Pull that up there. Also, all right. Are we ready to get into the gist and the crux of Point Break?
Yeah, I absolutely am.
All right. Already, it just leads off, pouring down rain, slow motion cocking of the shotgun with one hand, and we see Johnny Utah going through this little shooting range at the FBI, and it's interposed, I guess you could say, intercut with scenes of surfing. It's like, well, you know what you're fucking getting into here with the opening credits.
Yeah, and Keanu Reeves is just outrageously handsome.
He is, I think he's 28 or something.
When he's filming this already?
Yeah, he looks so young. He looks so much younger. I swear.
Yeah, I think he's so clean cut in this movie, right? There's no beard or anything.
No, he's clean cut. Just everybody looks like they were shaved like perfectly down.
Every single shot, they're like,
it's like they're shaving every cut, every take just to make it in there. I would have thought he was like 21 or 22 when this came out, but I forgot he'd been in movies for like 5 or 6 years before this. He had been in some smaller ones. I do think, I can't remember if it was this one. Was it Interview with Bram Stoker's Dracula? I think that he was in also. So what do you think about this, his acting?
I mean, how do I get my words out? I don't like to bad talk or shit talk Keanu Reeves because I love Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
But some of the acting is very flat.
It's terrible. It's just like we're not breaking news and we're not going out on a limb being like, here's my unpopular opinion, like the Norman Rockwell meme with a guy standing up at the town hall being like, I think Keanu Reeves' acting is bad. It's so bad. I just don't understand like how he still had a career. I mean that. Like, I don't understand how you can make this movie and you have him opposite Gary Busey, who this is about the most toned down Gary Busey is ever going to be. And he still kind of goes crazy a little bit. And then you got Patrick Swayze. And it's just like, I just don't know how you can have him in this movie and not ever think like, yeah, we need somebody else. Like, we have to have somebody. I don't get it.
Yeah, some of the lines that were just so rubbish, and I'll point them out as we go along because I have them written down. But it was like a bad line and also just such a terrible delivery that it was so unbelievable.
Yeah, and we should also say this without question, you cannot watch this movie and not think about Fast and Furious. Like, it is it is almost a carbon copy of it. I'm shocked there wasn't a lawsuit. But to compare Paul Walker, by the way, Varsity Blues, Paul Walker. Paul Walker in Fast and the Furious to Keanu here, he's fucking Laurence Olivier.
Yeah, it's... I love him in Cyberpunk. I feel like he's actually good in Cyberpunk.
Yeah, because he's also like, it's 30 years after the fact. Like, he's kind of becoming... And I'm sure with something true. With like John Wick, it's fine. Yeah, if he needs to go shoot up people... and do it, but like, yes, there's no fucking emoting here. His yelling is just, I cannot take him serious at all.
It's kind of cringy sometimes, isn't
Like I said, I'm just, how can you watch the dailies of this? How did Catherine Bigelow and all these producers, how do they watch the dailies and think, yeah, that's the take we'll put in. We don't need to reshoot anymore or recast this character.
They're just distracted by his super handsome face.
And that's the thing, like, he is very unique looking, that's for sure, but it's fucking Hollywood. Like, a billion fucking people are handsome. Like, at some point, like, you would think, I don't know. So that's all that we'll bag on him there. It's so distracting, so goddamn
maybe
distracting.
He was like the Henry Cavill of his generation, where maybe he's just super handsome so people let him act.
Yeah, and I guess he's trying here. So what about the name Johnny Utah? How ridiculous is that name?
It's so stupid, but
it's,
I love it.
So stupid. And I look at him like, Johnny Utah, what a dumb name. And they actually make a reference to a Johnny Unitas in here, who was a quarterback in the 60s and 70s. So And then I got to thinking, and I saw a thing in there that said, it's a cross between Johnny Unitas and Joe Montana. And I was like, okay, Joe Montana, would that be a ridiculous name if his name was Joe Montana?
Who's that?
Okay, Joe Montana, and Montana is a state in of the United States. So like mm-hmm. Johnny Utah, which is also a state, Joe Montana. Joe Montana was a quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. And when this movie came out, was like the best quarterback in the world and would retire as the best quarterback ever.
Okay, so that's a legit name.
That's what I mean. But I look at Johnny Utah, I'm like, that's stupid. But then I'm like, wait, mm-hmm. I've been saying Joe Montana my whole fucking life because that was an actual person. And that would be every bit as ridiculous. So maybe Johnny Utah is not as ridiculous as it first sounded.
I kind of love it. I think it works perfectly.
Yeah, and just Johnny Utah. Yo, Johnny, goddamn. Baby John C. McGinley. He's on Wikipedia's FBI director, and I'm like, this can't be the FBI director.
No,
it's not the head
of
the
FBI. I don't think he's the director. No,
yeah, he's just the boss or whatever it is. And then mm-hmm. I'd forgotten that he had started off in so many of these cop, military, tough guy roles before going on Scrubs and becoming like comedic afterwards. Yeah.
Oh my God, him as Dr. Cox is like one of my favorite TV roles ever. Like, he just broke my heart so many times, but he's hilarious.
Oh, his delivery in that of just like, would you now? And just his facial emoting is so good.
He's so funny. Like, you're right, his facial expressions, and then also his physical comedy where he is trying to make a point to like the younger doctors and he just keeps going. You can tell how embarrassed you would be if you were that person, but he just keeps going and going. It's so good.
And it's almost like with Brooklyn 199. Or is it Brooklyn 99? I think it's Brooklyn 99.
No, you're 99. Right. Brooklyn 99, yeah.
With Andre Brower, RIP. I think he died a couple months ago. Is the same, was a super serious, dramatic actor. And then they throw him in this almost like this deadpan type humor. And it was it's fucking perfect.
Yeah, it just works.
All right. So here in the FBI, no caffeine, no sugar. Cardiovascular fitness is of utmost importance.
Yeah. Back in the day, that must have been the truth.
Well, the no caffeine is funny because now I just don't think, like, people wouldn't be like, oh, you can't have caffeine. It's like, no, caffeine is actually used a lot as like a pre-workout or as a way to do something. It's weird that apparently in 1991, they would look at caffeine being bad.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. Also, I guess this might be different to cops, but cops are like coffees and donuts, right? We didn't see any donuts in this film.
We did.
Did we? Did I miss it?
You did, because that's what that's what Johnny was eating at the end of this thing right here.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
And
yes,
I think that was the joke. It's just like,
I
love these things.
I love it.
Punk quarterback.
Sir, I'll take the skin off a chicken.
I take the skin off chicken. It's like, oh God. Yeah. All right. They go out to this pool where they're doing this like diving bricks blindfolded. And we get introduced to Pappas, played by our FBI agent Angelo Pappas, played by Gary Busey, who was a fucking 80s and 90s mainstay. Love this guy, but I think he had a lot of IRL problems.
Oh, really? I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, if you look up his Wikipedia picture, I think that sums it up perfectly. And that picture's from 2008. And it's like, that was it.
Jesus, he's 79 now? Wow.
79. From Goose Creek, Texas.
There you go. Where's that? Goose Creek.
Actually, more like Goose Creek, I'd say. Oh, it's outside Baytown. So it's southeast by Houston, like the Gulf Shores little area.
I think there's a lot of Texas people in this film.
Yeah, there was Patrick Swayze.
Exactly.
Texas.
Yeah, he's Houston.
Yeah, Houston. Down there. Okay.
Yeah,
but he's...
I was saying to you before, I did not know that Patrick Swayze is dead.
Yeah, that was sad. Yeah, when we get to Bodie, we can just do it here. He had cancer, and I just remember hearing about how he like beat it, and they're like, "Oh, you beat cancer," but you never really beat cancer, you know. And it was like it's completely in remission, and then it was like 3 or 4 months later, he's dead.
Oh, it's so sad.
Yeah, it was like almost completely gone and then just came back and then he just was like gone. He's like, fuck.
Oh, yeah. I've just noticed it says pancreatic cancer, which I think is meant to be one of the worst.
I think that is like the shortest time, I guess, because everything goes through the pancreas. Is that what it is?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
It sends stuff everywhere. That's what I remember hearing, but... Yeah, I remember him. It's funny because all the stuff he's been in, I think I will remember him most from Donnie Darko.
Yeah, I don't really know him from anything else. I think
Roadhouse
he was in
a big
like Dirty
one.
Dancing.
Dirty Dancing, Ghost, Roadhouse. So he had like all these like seminal movies all within a 4 or 5 year period from the late 80s to the early 90s.
Yeah, he's got a good filmography.
Yeah.
Cut short too soon.
R.I.P. Yeah, he seemed like a good guy too, and all he ever heard about from people also was just he was like a really good like person.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because you can always tell that when somebody dies, if you hear like the outpouring, and then whenever you hear people are like, no, he was a great person, it's like, okay, so when they don't say that they're a great person, yeah, then they actually weren't. Then you know that they actually weren't. All right, so the bank robberies are here. The president's masks, as we see in there. We've got LBJ. We've got Nixon. We've got Carter and Reagan. LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson from Texas.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, he was, I can't remember exactly where he was from. Stonewall. Hopefully that's not named after Stonewall Jackson. But, yeah, the four robberies. Have you ever heard of those presidents?
Name them again? The first one.
Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, I heard that one.
Reagan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the 80s in there. Richard Nixon and Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Yeah, those two I haven't heard of. The second one you said and the fourth one.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter was after Nixon and before Reagan, and then Johnson was before Nixon.
God, there must have been so many. I can't keep up with them all.
There have been 46 presidents, maybe? 47?
Oh, that's not as many as I thought.
There's only been one president to serve two non-consecutive terms. I think that was Grover Cleveland, but if Trump wins this November, he will be the second president to serve.
That's
two.
This November?
That is November. And I.
Oh, my God.
We get the day off. They just started giving us, I think it might be like a state thing or something, voting day off, because our voting is always on a Tuesday.
Okay.
And so they're giving us like Monday and Tuesday off, because last week we had to go in Monday, off Tuesday, and then go back Wednesday. The kids were like, this is stupid, I'm not coming Monday. And a lot of people didn't.
Okay.
I don't give a shit. I will get it off if I need to. I am not going to school the day after that election.
Do you want to be out partying?
No, I just want to be, I want to be away from everything. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to hear the kids. I don't want to hear, I don't know. I might be taking, there might be a 5-day week for me, or 5-day weekend for me, because I do not want to, I don't want to go on with that.
Yeah. So without getting into it too much, is it looking likely that he'll win?
I think it depends kind of whatever. I know that Biden right now has his lowest approval rating of his whole presidency. So I think it's probably going to happen because our country's set up for it. Like,
yeah.
Like only one time a Republican has won the popular vote one time since like 1992 or something like that.
So weird.
Yeah, because you have this thing called the Electoral College, which is stupid and archaic. Yep. But hey, that's America. Mm-hmm. We like being told by people who lived 250 years ago what to do.
Yeah, I mean, our whole electoral system is very outdated as well.
Yeah, I think we should put on their masks and go rob some banks to show them.
Yeah, I think that's better.
How dumb it is. Cut that. All right. Keanu and Busey start yelling at each other here when they're out on this drop car. And... Mm-hmm. I just, like, I don't know. It's not good, because how can you not get more than that? Like, you have Gary Busey opposite you.
Yeah.
And just to see this, like, one-sided, like, a little tirade thing there. This was not very good.
I feel like Keanu Reeves is the nicest, most kind of calm, like, peaceful person ever. That whenever I hear him shouting like this, it just seems so unnatural.
Yes.
Yeah. It seems like he's been told, you need to shout. And he's like, okay, this is me angry. And it's like, no, it's not natural at all.
He needs to be like his character from Bill and Ted, Excellent Adventure. Just a stoner.
Yeah.
He needs to be a chill stoner. He needs to be one of these chill.
Yes, he should be one of the surfers.
He should just be one of the surfers there and replacing in there. Yeah, so, but Pappas has deduced, and I was like, okay, that actually surprised me that this wasn't actually deduced or figured out by Johnny, but Pappas has deduced that they're surfers, and they only hit banks in the summer, and this is kind of how they bankroll, no pun intended, their lifestyle.
Yeah, this was a pretty good piece of detective work from him, but he has never managed to get it over the line.
Yeah, and I get that they're in, you know, it's California, and it's the beach and all that. But apparently they say here they've robbed 27 banks in 3 years.
Yeah, how many banks are there?
How many? There, God, America has so many fucking banks. Like, okay. these little ones that they go into, despite looking like a little bank and there's like 75 people inside of them. So maybe they're not that little. But you would just think that if there's a rash of bank robberies in an area, that you would beef up security if you're the bank.
Yeah.
Or just in general, I don't know. It just seems like they don't really care that much. Like the locals don't really care that much. It's like, oh, the FBI's on it. We don't give a shit.
If it's happening that regularly, there'd be like a plan in place. And yeah, you're right. Extra security, or even just the FBI or the police would be able to be like, okay, we know this is happening semi-regularly at the moment. Let's post up extra support around the banks.
Yeah.
just let it happen.
Something in there just like, oh, it didn't happen. But we'll see what happens when they try to fight back later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Or shoot back. All right. So afterwards, kind of head to the beach, this little kid at the store. It's like 15-year-old kid that was at the store and he's buying these groceries.
Mm-hmm.
He looked very familiar, was in a bunch of stuff from the 90s. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead came out the same year. God, it's an awesome movie. We may need to do that sometime. So I was just like, hey, I wonder what this guy's up to. Died in 2000 of an overdose at the age of 24 on September. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No.
You are joking.
But just to see your mouth just drop, like, no, it was like a February 12th, something like that. But died of an accidental drug overdose.
That's so sad. That is so sad.
I know. At 24 years old, and born in Texas. He's from Texas.
Aww.
Born in Plano, which is a little bit north of Dallas. But yeah, it's one of those, every so often I'll look up actors, I'm like, oh, I haven't seen them in forever. I wonder what they're doing, if they just quit or whatever. And then every time I look and see that they like died young, it's like, it's just so shocking.
Yes, it's very sad to think. I always say that to people, you know, when people are like, oh, you know, you're getting to 30, like, how do you feel? And, you know, when people hate getting older, I'm like, some people don't get to see this, you know, some people, it's over by the time they're even 20. So I don't know. It always plays on my mind.
Yeah, and just like, just especially, a combined effect of cocaine, dextromethorphan, and diazepam. And it's just like, that's a massive upper in cocaine and a massive downer in diazepam.
Mm-hmm.
And just, that's fucking sad. So we'll...
That's very sad.
That'll bring the show down there.
I saw what you posted on our Instagram story the other day.
What was
some kind of 9/11 tributes?
Oh yes, that's up in Grapevine, Texas, for some fucking reason. At this busy intersection, is this little 9/11 memorial, and it's like, why is there a 9/11 memorial in Grapevine, Texas? It wasn't like there was visiting Grapevine firefighters or police in New York that just happened to be
random.
There and die. It's just completely random. So we stopped right there and I was like, oh yeah. Click.
You'd be like, I had this made here.
Yeah, I'm the one that had that in there. Just every time you'd be like, indeed, just go out there. And if we'd have had time, I would have gone there and like taken a little moment of silence.
Proper picture with it.
Proper picture. Yeah, smiling like... Given the
I hate that. That reminds me of people who take like selfies at Auschwitz. Like, it's just so bizarre.
Somebody, was it a celebrity or an athlete, did that and like did like a selfie with it. I'm just like, wow, that's just
really bizarre.
That is just the most like just tone deaf, like content creation thing like I've ever heard.
Yeah. I remember seeing a girl, I can't remember where I know her from, like school or something, but we don't keep in contact, but you know, you still have these people on Facebook, and she had posted photos on Facebook of her at Auschwitz, but she'd got someone to take the photos of her, but she's like posing, like looking sad.
Oh my God.
Is so awful. So she's like looking at, you know, I don't know, like some kind of memorial or reading something, like with her hands on her face, like shock, like, oh, this is terrible. I'm like, this is so inappropriate.
You've opened up this like Pandora's box for me. I honestly think that stuff like that is having such a negative effect on kids because they are growing up. And I know it's not you. I know it's not you doing
it. Not me.
Not you, but a lot of YouTubers and a lot of people.
Oh.
It's all about fucking reactions. And like the most mundane shit will happen in a classroom and kids will just go over the top and like, startle, and I'm like, what the fuck? No, I don't cuss, obviously.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing? What happened? Oh, someone did. I'm like, that did not need that reaction. Like, we're in a chill classroom. I got this soft music playing. The lights are low because I got LED lights above it. And I'm like, y'all need to calm the fuck down. and like don't react like you just saw the most incredible thing. And I swear to God, I think it comes from them from fucking reaction videos. Like now everything requires a, like you said there, it's like stupid fucking clickbait thumbnails of just people with their mouths open. It's like, when is that going to fucking die? That's the oldest thing that I will yell at.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Until that got pointed out to me. I can't remember who it was. Maybe just somewhere online. But once that got pointed out to me, it made so much fucking sense of like what the kids are raised on and that what will influence them to do it. Like they think it's probably just natural to always have this over the top fucking reaction.
And then they're also in a kind of performative state because they're with their classmates trying to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
And it's over the top. Yeah, they're doing like a YouTube reaction to something that's just everyday normal stuff. That's so bizarre.
Yeah. And it's something where everybody has their own Instagram, their own TikTok, their own Snap or whatever it is. And they are the main character for that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Millennial Brett's going to step down off his boomer Gen X soapbox there. But yeah, that's something that got down. All right. So Johnny goes to try to surf on his own. He almost drowns, but he is rescued by Tyler here, and again, played by Lori Petty.
Yes, I'm not super familiar with Lori Petty, but I loved her in this.
There's a movie we are definitely going to watch sometime, especially if we ever do like baseball or something like that, A League of Their Own.
Yeah, I've heard of that. She's in Free Willy.
She's in Free Willy. She's the mom. She had like a huge movie a year, a huge movie for me, I should say, like every year starting with this going out. And for A League of Their Own, she's like, pretty much the second role outside of Gina Davis. She's great in it. That's a fantastic movie that holds up really well. 30 somebody is very Tom Hanks comedic, like right before he got into the fucking Forrest Gump, Philadelphia and all that. I think I think that came out maybe in like 92. I want to say, I think it was like the year before Philadelphia and then 2 years before Forrest Gump.
That's right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I see. Also, she was in Orange is the New Black, which is a TV show I really want to revisit because I thought it was so good the first few series.
Yeah. It seems like every show that's ever told to me is it's great at first, and then it just every show just kind of stays a little bit too long.
Yeah, I think maybe Breaking Bad did a good job of
I was going to say Breaking Bad and The Sopranos are the two that come to mind that never fell off like at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my biggest gripe with The Walking Dead is that the first three series of The Walking Dead is honestly some of the best television I've ever watched ever. And then it goes too crazy, too many new characters that they expect us to love as much as we love the originals.
Yeah.
And then it totally lost me. And apparently now it's really good again. So I do want to catch up, but it's like 12 series or something.
Wait, it's still on?
And then four spinoffs. They've finished the main show now.
Okay,
I think.
Yeah. And the spin-offs. Yeah.
But there's several spin-offs.
And
I just think, I want to, but also I don't have that much time.
Prison Break is another show that I've heard that goes off a fucking cliff. That the first season is incredible. The second season, someone would be like, that was even okay. But then even people that love that show, they're like, it got so fucking bad and so dumb.
So far-fetched. Yeah, I've never sat down to watch that.
Yeah, Lost was a big one. That comes up for that as well. Unbelievable first season, but they didn't know. They literally asked questions they did not know the answer to, and couldn't solve.
Couldn't tie it up in the end.
So this might look familiar as Johnny is smitten with her, goes to where she works, where she's waitressing at a diner.
Yep.
He doesn't get called the F slur.
Oh shit! Yeah.
doesn't get told to go to Fat Burger and get a Fat Burger and fries for $2.99. But no, yeah, no tuna ordered here, though. But yeah, this is very, very similar to old Brian.
Yes. So similar to the Fast and Furious, right? That's the first one that we watched that.
We did. That's somewhere in the previous episodes.
Somewhere in the backlogs there, somewhere. But yeah, the whole premise of this film is very similar to Fast and the Furious. And I'm glad you mentioned that before we watched it, because then I was picking it up as we went through the film. And yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't questions asked. Or maybe there was.
There had to have been, but I never saw anything that mentioned anything about a lawsuit or anything like that. Because I know the Fast and the Furious was based on this like magazine article or news story about underground street racing.
Right.
But then it's just, like I said, there's a difference in having an homage to a movie and just stealing or like copying.
Yes.
And what Fast and Furious did not feel like an homage to this because it wasn't It wasn't like a, I don't know. It seemed like they were literally just stealing it or copying
it. Yeah, because they might have read about the underground car racing thing, but then they're like, how can we make a movie out of this? Oh yeah, let's just take surfing from Point Break and turn it into car racing.
Let's just take so much of this and just copy paste it into 2001. Bodie is here, Patrick Swayze with this. How about this mane of hair that he has?
I feel like this hairstyle is now back in fashion.
Unfortunately, the mullet is back. This isn't too bad because it's covering like his whole head. Yes. But a big thing now would be if you shaved his sides.
Yes, because this is still everything kind of untidy, isn't it?
It's very surfer bro.
Exactly. Whereas the ones that they do now is very well kept. It's got that really clean cut barber look. So it looks really extreme when you have then the big bits hanging off at the back.
Yeah, it's such a bad look. And I tell kids that all the time. I'm like, I understand trends come and go. I go, but the mullet is something that you are going to look back in 10 to 15 years when this dies again. And it will die. Mm-hmm. It will die hard because it did back in the fucking 90s and it will again. I go, you are going to be so embarrassed for the rest of your life that your high school photos, your prom photos, all this stuff right here is going to be forever ingrained. And now I say that like they don't take 87 pictures a day and
exactly.
put it on fucking Instagram.
I was going to say,
No, not at all. But at the same time, there'll be more pictures of it to be like, you're going to have that afterwards. I'm like, maybe that's a good thing though.
Yeah, they need to learn these things themselves. It is the cycle of life.
Yeah, it's very rare, I think, when people look back at high school photos and they're just like, dang, I looked really good.
Timeless. Hate mine.
Do you really? How was your hair?
Well, my first year at uni where I had really dark hair and I wore loads of fake tan. And for some reason, I didn't do anything with my eyebrows. So my blonde eyebrows were just like covered in makeup. And now I have, I put a little something in them to match them to my hair color.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't wear no lipstick or anything. So I just looked like unwell because I was all one color. And, eyebrows, no lips. And yeah, just wore like such stupid outfits. But it is what it is.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Mine's all from the 90s. So everything was just ungodly baggy and big.
Yeah, I love that. So much.
Well, I was also just stupidly skinny also. I was so goddamn emaciated. I looked so bad.
Kids don't go through this awkward phase anymore.
I mean, some
me
do.
Me sounding like a boomer.
Yeah. I mean, some do. You know, it's the same thing. There's going to be kids that get it, that understand it, others that don't. And so I guess, but like we talked about, their whole lives will be cataloged, so they'll be able to relive it all.
Yeah.
In therapy, they can go through picture by picture.
Exactly.
To do it. All right. So he recognizes Johnny, though, as all conference from Ohio State. And I had thought that he was like a Heisman-winning quarterback. And the Heisman Trophy is awarded to the best college football player in the country. And so it's good that he didn't have that. Because I remember thinking, like, how is this guy a Heisman Trophy winner and these people don't fucking recognize him? Mm-hmm. But he was all conference. They said he played like 3 years ago, blew out his knee. It was the 80s where you're not going to have a picture of everybody in that sense. And he could be easily forgotten because he would have been literally out of any kind of cultural touchstone for 3 years.
I was thinking about that in Braveheart. You know, in Braveheart where they're like, is that William Wallace? No, it's not William Wallace. And he's like, I am William Wallace. And it's like, how could they know? They just have to trust him.
I've thought about that. Like we talked about that, I think, in the Django episode.
Yeah.
Where you could just go town to town and just be whatever. And you can be described. But it's also a very homogenous society. Back then, like Scotland, like Braveheart and all that. It's a very homogenous society where everyone's going to look very, very, very similar. And so, like you said, they just get described in a certain way. Something like him's legendary, so he gets 6 inches taller every time a new story rolls through town. But you're right. It's like, if he dies and not that many people have really seen him, they could recognize him, you could just have somebody else take his fucking place.
Yeah, and nobody would ever know.
Yeah, especially early on, people be like, was that him? Oh, he looks close enough to him. Yeah, I said, oh, he might have had blah, blah, blah. But like other people aren't going to do it. And the nobles, if you will, if everyone can unite and be like, yeah, this is him. I know there was an honor thing back then and people wouldn't do it. But he wasn't a noble in Braveheart. So I guess in that aspect, he could have just been like, Yeah, this is him. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. Get away with it so easily.
It's more like a title, William Wallace. He just kind of lives forever. Who has the title of?
You pass it down to someone else.
The Shield of Scotland and the Stone of Scone. I thought it was a hilarious scene when they go to the beach and have to get these hair samples and just.
Oh my God, yeah.
The bra. When he's thinking the bra, that just, I don't like the bra. Like, is fine. Bro is good, but bra.
Yeah, that's very surfer, isn't it?
Because I think they said some of it in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay.
I don't remember bra in the Fast and the Furious. I remember bro, very Cali, very surfer thing. But yeah, when he's just like, hey, bra, I just saved your life. It's just, that bra just sounds dumb. I don't like it.
Yeah, it sounds like it should sound more natural coming out rather than bro.
Yeah.
But it just ends up sounding really forced.
Yeah, it just maybe that's what it is, because bro's just normal. Come on, bro. But like, bruh, yeah. Like, bro, yeah, it just doesn't. It just doesn't.
You got to put a bit more effort in it.
Yeah. I don't know. That just seems a little bit farced in there. How about a beach fight, though?
Oh, I loved. I was going to say some of the music in this film.
Yeah, I think Rat was on there.
Some of the music is just so. I don't know if it's written for the film or if it's actual songs, but. There was a moment where he's watching, what's her name, Tyler?
Yeah.
He's watching her get dressed at the beach, and he's watching her through binoculars, and it's like, I want you. And I was like, okay, that's, you know, interesting choice of music, just to make sure that we know he fancies her. And then later on, when he's learning how to surf, the music's going, I will not fall. And I was like, this is stupid.
Why is this music telling us how to feel?
It's like, stop telling me what's happening in the scene that I'm watching.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you brought that up also, because yeah, when she's getting dressed in that, changing, this is before to go to the diner, it's very much, it lingers on her, but it's literally through the eyes of the main character. So I guess that'd be it, but it's big time male gaze, huge male gaze. Mm-hmm. But again, this is directed by a woman.
It's Bigelow. Yeah. It's directed by a woman. I did find that weird. I wonder if I hadn't known that before I watched it, would I've been like, oh, these disgusting male directors creeping on women. And then someone could have told me, oh, well, actually.
I will straight up admit, I would never, I just would not think of women. Do women direct action movies now?
I don't know of any.
Becoming more common, just seeing with Marvel. I know Marvel's doing a lot of like women directors. I'm sure it's more common than what it was. But again, for 1991, that's what's so weird that Kathryn Bigelow slipped by me. She almost exclusively did like action movies, thrillers. And she had to have been like the only woman active, constantly doing that. Maybe not like a one-off or something like that. And for good reason, she's obviously a great director. But you're right.
She did a damn good job of it. Yeah. Like, this has become a classic.
Oh, completely. And for good reason. Like it's. I'm glad it got well-received at the time, too.
Yeah, Sam. Yeah, she's done a great job.
Yeah, but no, I definitely would have been like, there's not a woman directing action. A woman?
Yeah. Where's Michael Bay? Get him in here.
Michael Bay would be bursting on the scene 4 years after this. Right now, Michael Bay's doing music videos at this point.
Yes, he's working with Victoria's Secret, probably.
Go. Over in Miami. Oh, it's this beach fight happens because Johnny runs into this other guy out. He punches him. And these Nazi assholes, one of them is played.
Oh my God, yeah.
One of them is played by Red Hot Chili Peppers frontman Anthony Kiedis.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
The very unique looking guy. I think he has maybe a ponytail or something like that, or two ponytails.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, the really tan guy, shorter guy. That's the fucking frontman of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
How weird.
It's weird because there's another guy in the band named Flea. And that's like his like stage name. He's in a bunch of stuff. Like he's in acts in a ton of stuff. And yeah, I didn't know Anthony Kiedis really did anything. And he just got in that shirt. And again, 1991, Chili Peppers are fucking huge.
Yeah, this is like they're thriving.
Yeah. Like Under the Bridge might have been like around that time or like late 80s, something like that. Yeah, it's just, I guess
it's
LA.
Time to play a Nazi asshole, I guess.
Oh, and that's another reason too. He calls them those Nazi assholes, yet nothing ever comes back to them being Nazis. We don't see any. It's just really weird. They're just like, oh yeah, those Nazi assholes. They don't get the spiritual side of surfing. It's a state of mind.
Oh God, this guy is insufferable. Yourself.
You don't like him?
Well, I go back and forth with Bodhi. I feel like if I met him, I would be just annoyed by him.
I think I would be annoyed by him if we were just like out to dinner.
Yeah.
And it was just that if we were on a beach, if we were drinking, if it was like a party, I think that would be fine. But not actually like hanging around, just chilling.
Yes. If we're just trying to have like a normal conversation and he's like, oh, you don't get surfing, dude. I'm like, oh, bruh, shut up.
Yeah, he might not be a good podcast guest.
No.
To have on to do is he just goes, you don't get it, man. These guys don't have it. But his immortal line, well, it's coming up in a bit.
Right, oh my god, I forgot to mention I got to be a podcast guest recently.
Oh yeah.
And I got told I was a good podcast guest because I kept talking.
There
and
you
I was
go.
Like, I get it.
No, that's it. That's what I say to everybody that, you know, has guested on here going on. I'm like, just talk. Like you're on there
want to hear you talk
for you. Yeah, it's better to talk too much than not enough.
Exactly. Yeah,
which is why I don't shut the fuck up ever until you cut me off, and then finally I'd be like, oh there it is. Yeah. For those that don't know, because we're doing this over Zoom, Lucy has this big red sign that she holds up for me to shut the fuck up.
So shut up, please.
Shut up.
And then
I turn it
to green. I'm like, you talk now. Shut the fuck up.
Or we just have like a little button, like the Oscars, that starts playing music in our ears. So why did you been going on too long?
That's funny.
Music's playing me off. All right. So just like Fast and Furious, they bond over a fight as they kind of get away, and then got a party later if you want to drop by.
Oh, yes. And he has the house party. And yeah, I can't figure out like what Bodhi and Tyler's relationship is at this point.
I thought at first they were actually together. And then
because
when
we first meet them, they kiss.
Yes.
And like, you replacing me, baby?
Yeah. And then he's with the party. He's like taking a shot with that girl, doing the lime thing, the trick. And I'm like, what's the trick? He took a shot and like bit a lime in somebody's mouth. Like,
mm-hmm.
Who the fuck?
I taught him that trick.
Yeah, taught him. And just like who lack of motor skills can't do that? Like, who can't fucking bite half of a lime in somebody's mouth? Yeah, and then I thought they were like brother and sister. So I had to look that up thinking like, is this a point? I mean, is this a Fast and Furious thing?
Oh, but shit. Yeah, of course.
But they're not. And so I still don't know. What, they were together, though. Like he said, he could never hurt her later on.
Yeah, I guess they were just together. Not serious. Maybe they were together at some point, but not now.
Or it's
but
just.
Kiss.
Yeah, or it could just be like. It's chill, bro. It's just an open thing where they're just chilling. Yeah. Oh, you like somebody? Okay, then we're done. Could be something like that. Which, hey,
yeah,
glory to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so at the party, here it comes. If you want the ultimate, you got to be willing to pay the ultimate price. It's not tragic to die doing what you love.
Oh,
foreshadowing.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Ooh, screenwriting 101. I used to write. Yeah.
And the rest are like, bro.
That's it. Yeah. But it ties back obviously to the end there. But yeah, just, I mean, I've heard that line. If you want the ultimate, you got to be willing to pay the ultimate price. That has been such a quote. Again, was 7 when this came out. So I've heard that damn near my whole life from people who have liked this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah, they surf at night, which is always a great idea.
No,
to get
that's
drunk
fucking insane.
And go surfing at night. Yeah,
I meant to ask
track.
You, have you been surfing before?
Oh, never. Oh, because I was born in Hawaii? Oh, just because
You should know the surf, bruh.
Yeah, I was born on a surfboard, bruh. No, surfing is not something that you just go do. Like skiing, you could go like ski, you know? Like very easily, you kind of just go down, you take a quick class. Surfing looks hard as shit.
Yeah, I actually went for a walk at the beach this morning and there was people out surfing and I just thought, you're mental. Like, it's not for me. I don't want to learn how to do it. I have no desire to learn how to do it.
That water has to be so goddamn cold.
Yeah, it'd be freezing. Everyone's in their wetsuits and like, I don't mind. I'm a great swimmer. I love swimming, but the ocean, I don't fuck with the ocean.
No, the ocean scares me.
Yeah, I love it. You know, like I remember very dearly being in Dubrovnik and swimming around, you know, King's Landing. And that was just amazing. And the water was still and it was just so nice. And I love that so much. But when the waves start going and you start getting pulled in directions and, you know, drowned, I don't like that.
Ocean is strong. Those waves and those currents, man.
And it happens so fast and you don't realize it. And then all of a sudden you're out of your depth. And yeah, it's not for me.
No, yeah, I would never actually go like swimming in the ocean. Mm-mm. No.
No, if it's still, I'm good. But if there, and you know what the fuck's down there as well?
Are we still, there's like fucking estimated like 90% or something like that. What we don't know is like down.
Yeah, no thanks. A bunch Sharknado or whatever the fuck's down there.
Of ships in gold.
Yeah.
Sank to the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm.
I went scuba diving once, which was pretty cool, but I don't really have a desire to do it again.
That scares me too. Yeah. I snorkel. I would definitely snorkel because you don't got to go under. Yeah.
Scuba diving just, I felt uncomfortable. Just felt wrong. Trying to, you know, you have to say, okay, you're safe to breathe. It feels so unnatural to breathe when you're underwater and you have to like actively think about doing it rather than just having it be something you do without, you know, even thinking about it.
All right. What about as natural as spending the night on the beach?
Oh.
Johnny and Tyler. Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Slept on the beach?
Actually, I have.
Really?
Thailand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Okay. Like it was on purpose or?
Yes. So the hostel that I was staying in, this is pretty cool, actually. The hostel that I was staying in was actually like a giant wooden ship and it was like beached on the beach. So you could go, we could sit up on the top deck and like drink and party. And then I don't know what the bottom of the boat is called, but like what would be under the water usually, that's where all the beds were. And it was just awesome. And then we would just sit out on the beach and stayed up all night once.
Dang. Well, that's a lot more relaxing. I've never spent the night on a beach, but I don't know if I've mentioned this story of coaching college. We had a little tour in the Bahamas.
Oh,
and the night before we leave, our Spanish player is nowhere to be found. And then the morning of, nowhere to be found. No one's heard from him. And it's just like, we leave in like an hour. I'm like, where the fuck? And like, so I'm telling the managers, telling other people, like, hey, we got to go fucking find this dude. Like, I'm not telling the head coach because we tell him now he's going to freak out. There's nothing we can do anyway. I'm like, I don't want to deal with that shit before we go back. So like 30 minutes before we're supposed to leave, this fucking dude just comes up.
Just shows
like,
up.
Just
oh,
shows
annoying.
Up. I'm like, you motherfucker. But I'm just glad he's fucking there. Because I'm like, losing somebody sucks. Losing them in a foreign country as you're about to fly back is really fucking bad. So he's got like his fucking sunglasses on. And so we get to the airport. And by now, like the head coach kind of hasn't really seen him or whatever. I go up to him. I get the story. He just fucking met up with like two girls and they fell asleep on the beach. I'm like, you fucking idiot. But all right. And I tell him, I go, take those fucking sunglasses off. I go, it's so obvious. Like, take them off. He took them off. To this day, I have never seen anybody ever with as bloodshot of eyes.
Oh, my God.
And, like, his bags were, like, straight black under him. Again, this is a 21-year-old guy. 20-year-old guy. And just, like, solid black underneath. Like, it was fucking makeup or a black eye. And as soon as he took them off, I go, put him back on.
Put him back on.
I go, put him back on. And I go, stay the fuck away from Cross. The head coach's name is Cross. I go, don't fucking go near him. I go, stay away. Don't talk. Like, just, I'm like, I don't want to hear this ever again. I don't want to hear whatever because it's going to be there. But I just could not believe. Oh, I died when he took him off. I was like, put him on now.
Strip back on, please.
Like, go to sleep and put them on and then go to sleep.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. So, but now, sadly, I don't have one there. Another thing I've never really done is get raided by the FBI.
Oh, Sam.
Yeah, okay, look at that. Well, I guess you can't get raided the FBI. Get fucking Interpol or something, I guess, would raid you.
I don't know what our equivalent is, actually.
All right, so they raid, again, like Fast and Furious, but this raid gets a little botched in here. This one guy looks like he was pouring beer into his Cheerios.
Oh, my God. This is, they go and bust, like, the guys that they had a fight with at the beach, right? The Nazi guys. And all hell breaks loose. And I have written in my notes, like, what the fuck is happening in capital letters? Because I knew it was going to go bad. That was going to be the story point where they bust the wrong house, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it went bad. Like, everyone, they pulled out loads of guns. There's naked women everywhere. They are shooting to kill. There's headshots. People being used as human shields. It all went to shit so fast.
Yeah, and speaking of, again, like you said, they're the two women in this scene. One is naked, and the other one's basically in her underwear.
One is naked, beating the shit out of Keanu Reeves.
Beat the shit out of him. That's fucking awesome.
That was Catherine Bigelow's direction there, going, if we're going to have naked women, they're going to beat the shit out of you.
That was the change from old W. Illich, whatever his. Again, a guy who's going to write in two naked women basically fighting in this thing is going to be the guy that looks like in that picture.
Exactly. I think we need to have that picture in our show notes.
All right. So this lawnmower, though, is fucking up their communications.
Oh, my God. Yes, the lawnmower. Sorry, continue.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
That's all I had to say. Like, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was sat with my hands over my face like, not the face. Like, that is so gruesome that they're going to, like, lawnmower
his face.
Sorry,
yes.
I skipped ahead a little
You're right. No, that was holy dreadful. Shit. Just to look at and imagine would just be the worst. Oh my God. Like
that's it. You know, Keanu Reeves is no more.
Dude, that's the same with like hands down a garbage disposal.
Oh!
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys have those things in your homes.
You don't have a garbage disposal?
No.
It's where you put junk.
Down the sink.
Yeah.
No, just put it in the bin.
Like food and everything?
Yes.
Interesting.
Garbage disposal sounds like an absolute nightmare.
So when you wash your dishes,
mm-hmm.
is there a drain? Like there's just a regular drain?
Yeah.
Okay, so you just can't
put food in the drain. No, we just put.
I put everything in the garbage disposal. Everything.
Food.
I don't put anything. What do you mean?
Where does the garbage disposal go?
It goes to the garbage.
Where?
It disposes in the garbage.
Is it like a drain?
What am I, a doctor? I don't know.
No, I don't know. But do you then have to empty the
garbage?
No, there like a little
it goes
bin
like
underneath
it. It goes like the sewer. No, it's gone.
Does it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, this is freedom. All right, this is what happens.
That is freedom.
In America.
And then you don't have bin smell or bin juice.
No, but then pretty much I think you're supposed to put all food in the garbage disposal. Because you don't want, because you have fucking animals tearing up your trash.
Yeah, but we don't have that many wild animals.
Y'all don't have stray dogs and cats?
No.
Really? Too cold? They don't want to come to Newcastle? They're like, I don't fucking live in Newcastle.
We don't have stray dogs. We have stray cats. We don't have stray dogs. Stop. No.
Oh my God. We have coyotes here. So
might be foxes.
We have coyotes instead of foxes. So.
Yeah, so it's actually, it actually makes sense why you guys would do that, because it would be dangerous. It could be dangerous if they caught a smell of food in your bin, whereas for me, there might be
I think it's a laziness I think it's just a laziness. Just throw our shit in there. We don't have to take trash out. We take the trash out, but we that would be stuff you don't put down the bin,
And also people just get their hands caught in there.
Yeah, but you'd have to...
Would you really have to be an idiot to do that?
Yeah, you'd have to turn it on and then stick your fucking hand down there. Unless somebody, you know what I mean? But literally
you have to turn it on and it just cuts everything up and goes
the drain. If you ever leave something in there, a spoon in there, it fucks that spoon
up. Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, think of a blender. It's like a blender. Yeah. Stick your hand in a blender. So gremlins.
That is.
I think gremlins.
Yeah. That's mental.
A little gremlin
smoothie.
We
don't have garbage disposal.
Yeah. And that's just so weird, because I'm like, that is such, that in central air. Again,
yes.
It's just when places don't have central, I'm like, what?
Yeah, and you guys don't have kettles.
The fuck?
Kettle.
People will have it. If they regularly drink tea, they'll have it.
That's
I think that's usually a test of how often somebody drinks tea, how serious they are about their tea.
That's kettle and toaster is the standard here.
Yeah.
Have a kettle and toaster.
Toast, yeah. No, a kettle, I wish I liked tea more. Oh, well, that's just brown water. Yeah, it's just brown water. I don't I like coffee. I always love that.
You could use it to make coffee as well.
I know, but I just love when people are just like, oh, tea, that's dirty brown water. I'm like, don't you drink coffee?
Same shit.
I'm like, and I like coffee. Don't get me wrong. I like coffee a lot more than tea. But it's just it's weird thumbing your nose at tea, but you're drinking coffee. So
You're drinking coffee.
Why are you making fun of me? You're drinking.
You just say coffee, not a Texas person.
I know. Drink coffee. You're drinking coffee. That sounds so weird. Coffee. Coffee.
It's got to be coffee.
It's coffee. Talk. Yeah. See, I just coffee. I don't want to go down that thing again.
I'm
need to
sorry.
Go to therapy for that. Why are you here? Are your problems in there? I say coffee, I say talking, like wait, what? Wait, huh? Wait, huh?
I'm from Boston.
And instantly they're like, this guy's fucking insane. He's coming to therapy because he's saying coffee and talk. This is an uncredited appearance here by this DEA agent. This is Tom Sizemore.
Who's that? I don't know that person.
Tom Sizemore, he just died. Oh, he died like last year. Ton of stuff. Got a great part in Saving Private Ryan. He had a ton of substance abuse. Got into it a lot of things with like Heidi Fleiss, this Madam Hollywood.
Okay.
He, yeah, he had a great little bit role on Always Sunny this episode. Yeah, he had a lot of substance abuse, but in seemingly every movie from the 90s, he's awesome. Here, he's dialed it to 11, yelling like he's showing. And there's like, oh, Gary Busey, you want to be? I want to see how Busey. Here's a Busey performance, and just okay. Maybe I don't know. Maybe he saw how fucking flat Keanu was, and is like, I'm gonna fucking try to bring him up out of it. But it's uncredited, oh, really okay. Weird.
Is this the guy that was the undercover cop?
Yep. Yeah. The undercover DEA. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. It's just weird that he was, that
yeah,
he was
that
uncredited.
Is why, I wonder why that wouldn't be credited.
He was also in Pearl Harbor. So,
oh, shit.
All right. So they fucked this up. Apparently, this was an undercover DEA operation. And I just saw something. I don't remember if this was recent or if it was something that happened in like the recent past or too far, where now maybe this is in a fucking movie. I'm pulling something out of my ass. It was where departments like this now have to communicate, because
right.
In
yeah.
the past it was an FBI and a CIA thing is what it was, where like the DEA has an undercover operation going on here, but they don't tell the FBI, and so the FBI doesn't fucking know there's a undercover DEA. So then they go do something. And like the DEA is getting all pissed at him. It's just like, how is he supposed to know? You didn't tell him. Oh, you know, fuck. It was, I listened to this podcast. It's so fucking good. It was about these Boston paintings, these Rembrandts and all the stuff that were stolen in like the early 90s, and they were never recovered. And what happened was there was something with the FBI. The FBI in like the Boston branch of the FBI and the FBI in Miami at the time would not give each other the information. And so like, cause the FBI in Miami was like, hey, we're working on this down here. They didn't want to give all the credit to Boston.
Okay.
And so they withheld this stuff and they almost blew this guy's complete fucking cover in like 2 year long undercover operation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was. Because of that, now all these FBI regional offices or whatever have to share information.
Well, so it makes sense.
Yes,
yeah.
It makes perfect fucking sense. I get it. Like, if it's a DEA and an FBI thing, okay, I get it, because it's a whole different thing. But when it's literally the FBI Boston and the FBI Miami withholding stuff from each other is like, wow, this is so not about solving crime and doing the right thing.
No, it really isn't.
Yeah, it's, oh, God, fucking... Although anything that shows like this kind of incompetence, I'm like, yay, no word, they're incompetent.
Yeah, true.
No word.
That's funny. They definitely touched on that in Breaking Bad at some points as well, I think.
Did they?
Remember exactly what, but I'm sure they did, because there was a lot of DEA.
Yeah, that would have been Hank. I remember Hank was DEA involved in that. Oh, so this is where we get the meatball subs and the hungry eat the dead ass, or eat the ass of a dead rhino, which I will have to make sure I get that correctly, because I'm going to be using that sometime to say. And then bank robbery. They just happen to be outside when the ex-presidents kind of rob this bank. They do this nice little chase here. And yeah, Johnny just pumps about 10 rounds into the street. Like as he's getting away, as the Lincoln first gets away from the bank, he's just shooting down the street. And I'm like, yep, we're in an 80s, 90s action movie.
Honestly, the amount of shooting that happens in this is insane. And yeah, you're right. It's just bang, 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 bang. And at this point, this is where the plot of the movie starts to confuse me a little bit. Because obviously they want to get these guys, but I thought Keanu would hold back a little bit considering he's still got to have this somewhat of a cover.
Yeah, he doesn't know. Obviously, he doesn't know that that's them.
Yes, they have an idea that it's them.
Yeah.
But they haven't confirmed it yet. And I would have thought that he wouldn't have run after them so quickly.
Yeah, and when they had the FBI raid, I meant to mention that earlier, when they did the raid and they said, stay back and don't blow your cover, I like how in Fast and the Furious, when they do the raid, they have Brian covered head to toe in the SWAT outfit, so you can't recognize him. And I'm like, why aren't they doing that here?
Why has nobody thought of this?
He needs to have his face covered. But yeah, you're right. When he started chasing after them, I was like, Oh shit, I guess this they're gonna find out like halfway through the movie.
Yeah. Cover's blown now.
Johnny's not gonna know, but Bodhi and them are gonna know. They're like, oh shit, this dude's a fucking cop.
Yeah, and I guess that's what they decided to do better when they made Fast and the Furious. They're like, that little plot hole there, make sure we fix that. Cover
Yeah,
his
they're like, oh,
face.
that, well, then we can have him actually participate in the raid. And that FBI raid had like a full-on SWAT team and like full FBI. This was like two dudes, like
Oh, it was
no,
so, it was
like
bad.
so low rent. But again, it's
Yes.
a 1991 movie, $24 million budget, you know. This gas flamethrower was badass.
I loved it.
That
It was
was
so
fucking
ridiculous.
awesome.
Yeah, this whole chase scene is really, really fucking cool. And
Yeah.
we do get, this is where I start to notice a lot of Hot Fuzz references, where they've got these moments from, like the scene, the chase scene through all the gardens and through all the houses. Obviously, the big moment where it goes bang, 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 bang up into the
Yes.
air. We love that. And like some of the bits were just so ridiculous because he's hot on this guy's tail and then he locks the patio door behind him. And Keanu Reeves just fucking smashes it. It's like he smashes through it and then gets a dog thrown at him.
Oh, and he kicks the dog.
Oh, it's so
You
horrible.
could hear the.
Yeah. And we see so many times in this film as well, Keanu Reeves popping his knees, and that
Yes.
just, oh, I
My knees
hate
popped.
that.
I did not have ACL. So I think they said AC, it says knee blue. That's right. His knee. So we could just
Yes.
assume it was like an ACL, MCL kind of complete tear. My knees do that all the time. Like I'll pop them like crazy. Like I have to because
Oh, mine do
they
pop
lock up.
sometimes if I sometimes, like do a squat or whatever, I can hear them go, but it's just
Yeah.
when every time he lands on his feet, it's
Dude, the
like
landings, oh my God. The landings in this were so fucking real. We'll get to the one at the end. How tall do you think Keanu Reeves is?
Oh, I actually have no idea. I would say like 6 foot.
He's 6'1".
Okay.
I thought he would have been like 5'10", like for sure. Like he's
Wow.
Patrick Swayze's 5'10". Weren't
Shit.
they? I thought they were like the same height. If not, I thought Patrick Swayze was taller.
Oh,
Did
okay.
I
That's
miss
weird.
maybe?
Yeah. I would have thought they were the same height as well.
Am I confusing them? Is Bodhi played by Keanu Reeves or
Oh
like what?
my God, I would love to meet Keanu Reeves.
You would?
Yeah, I would love to meet him and just shake his hand.
Yeah. He's
Just
gotta
have
be
like a 5 minute conversation with him.
pretty chill.
Yeah.
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 He's
Maybe
born.
we'll put it out there to the universe.
There you go. He was
I'll
born in
meet him
Lebanon.
someday. Really?
Yeah,
That's
interesting.
random.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably like some kind of dad like business or something because I don't think
Yeah.
he's Lebanese. I don't
I have no
think.
idea.
No, I don't know. But I'm not going to guess his ethnicity because I think I know it, but I'm not going to guess it because I don't want to be wrong about it on the record.
No.
Wrong with there. Yeah, so the chase ends with shooting the gun in the air. You know, like and he gets away. Johnny's in too deep, man, and he knows who it really is. And then Tyler calls his ass out.
She does.
The way she ran out of the room, did it kind of look like she ran like Anna Faris did in Scary Movie, where she's, I swear, I don't know if she was like jumping over something
Yeah.
like that was on the ground, but it looked like she kind of just like threw her legs up and threw her arms around. It seemed really funny.
I do love that is an iconic run from
Yes,
Anna. It's
she
just
runs.
so good. She just had so much fun with those films.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, was it from this? I don't know. Maybe I'm just
Scary movie reference.
looking at too much into it. And then they're just like, we have to do something with Johnny. Like the whole gang's there. And Bodhi's saying, I'll handle it. I know just what to do. And they do the skydiving.
Yeah, this is where the film loses me. I'm like, what? Who's doing what here? I don't understand what the plan
Yeah,
is.
I do think though it was really good because as soon as they do that, they're like, oh, they're gonna give him a faulty parachute.
Yeah.
And then when he says, well, you don't trust me? Then he's like, okay, well, here, take mine. And then I'm like, oh man, are they doing like
Double
this? Are
bluff.
they doing the switching glass? Are they doing the double bluff? Because then instantly one of the other guys, I don't remember any of the guys' names. I looked up
No, I don't.
one
Sorry.
guy's Nathaniel, one guy's Roach. Can't remember the other one. Fuck.
Roach Nathaniel, that's the only one I have
Boosie.
down as well.
No, not Boosie. Not Lil Boosie. Lil Boosie. Rosie. Rosie.
Oh,
Yeah,
yeah.
Rosie. Okay. And so they're doing this like, no, you want this one. And then they keep doing it. I'm like, okay, I know he's not going to die,
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is really
but
tense.
I'm nervous.
It really
Yeah.
got me. And I usually don't get nervous or tense at shit like that.
No, they did a really good job of that because I was the same. I was like, they can't just have him jump out of a plane and die. Like, that would be so ridiculous. But
Yep.
you do feel nervous. I'm like, how have they planned this? I'm like watching them to see if they're keeping a track of which one they're swapping around. But no, they did a really good job.
Yeah, and then they're just broing out. And like, because the whole thing of that, I'm
Yeah.
like, this is some psychotic shit where they're just like, hey, man, yeah, we're going to have fun. Oh, it's your first time. That's like, no, this guy's about to fucking die. I'm like, this is some
Yeah.
hardcore shit.
This is where I got confused though, because obviously they know that he's an FBI agent at this
Yeah.
point, but does he know that they know? Surely he knows that they know.
I think by him trying to grab his gun is he thinks something's up. Like, just to be sure. Like, he doesn't know, but it's like, okay, why are they here? Oh, they're taking me somewhere. I think it's one of those, like, this is weird that they're all here saying we have to go somewhere. And like at this point, I do think he knows like that's them and they saw him, but he
Yes,
doesn't
they
want to
must
like
have
blow it
done.
yet. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's so ridiculous. Like, maybe Keanu Reeves just needed his face in that action scene, that big action chase scene. But if I think it would have been more clear if he had been in disguise.
And again, this would actually have to be somebody who I know it's a fucking movie, and this would have to be somebody who actually knows someone that went legit undercover like this. When you're undercover like that, you are 100% undercover. And so, like, when I think of it, even something not like the movie The Departed, where he would meet up with them, I would almost think you would never meet up face to face because if somebody saw you, if you ever needed to be face to face, you go get fake arrested into where they see you doing thing and you get hauled in. And then they, you know, so people, if people are looking at you, they're like, oh man, he just got fucking hauled in by the cops. Then you can talk about whatever. But like here, if you're fucking undercover like this, you're not doing your normal route with your fucking partner here.
Yeah. He's just going into the office every
You're
day.
just going into the
It
office.
makes
Like,
no sense.
it's so fucking stupid. Like, I don't know shit, your cover's gonna be blown, you idiot.
Yeah, so this is where I just started getting confused over who knew what and, you know.
I didn't think that hard. I'm tired and somewhat kind of, I'm more tired hungover than like drunk hungover. But
Okay.
this movie, this is the type of movie that's, it's great. Perfect like hangover movie that people will call where you don't gotta think. Like this shit, it doesn't matter. Like it
No.
doesn't ruin the movie. It's not like so bad. You're like, oh, that's fucking dumb. That takes me out. No, it's just like, okay, blowing shit,
Yeah.
blowing up. Fucking flamethrower on a gas, like gasoline hose. Fucking amazing.
Awesome.
I was gonna say that reminded me of, I think it's Lethal Weapon 4.
Okay.
I think it's lethal, one of the Lethal Weapon 3 or 4. It opens up with a guy like in LA fully armored with this huge fucking like flamethrower and machine gun, and it's fucking awesome.
It is quite cool, isn't
Yeah.
it?
No, it's
The way
fucking
he
great.
lit it as well, and the way he
Yeah.
soaked the gas attendant first and was like, get
Oh, he
away
was like, get
fast.
the
I was
fuck
like,
like.
holy shit, I thought he was about to just set him alight because this film's already done some really crazy shit.
Instead, he just set himself on fire.
Yeah.
Oh,
There
because he
was
got
a guy
tackled. He got
earlier
tackled,
as
yeah.
well. There was a guy when they're on the beach and they light a fire because they're night surfing. There's a guy who's just sat with his leg in the fire and he's like
Yeah.
laughing and then spitting his beer. And I was like, what is the reason of this?
That's what you do to see who can hold it in the longest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have done that.
That's silly.
No, I haven't done it. But there
Oh.
was a joke that people would do that, and people with like prosthetics will always win that people don't know. They'll be like, oh my God, what are you doing then? You got a fake leg. All right, so oh, the skydiving. Aw, they all link up together. Bros just being bros.
Yeah, just a couple of dudes skydiving, holding hands.
Some dudes skydiving. So this was a 2 hour and 2 minute runtime, I think. It was just over 2 hours. So much of it is showing surfing. This skydiving scene is what, like 4 or 5 minutes of them pretty
It's
much just
so
skydiving?
long, and I've never done a skydive before, but I feel like it would be over
Yeah.
so fast, and this goes on for so long.
It was minutes upon minutes, but it did seem like the last several thousand feet happened in like 20 seconds. So that felt
Yeah.
real.
Then all of a sudden, it's like really happening, really
Yeah.
serious.
Yeah. So they land in the water, which that seems like certain death. Landing in the water with a parachute and all that shit, that seems like you are
Oh.
going to fucking die.
You're gonna drown,
You're
yeah.
going to drown. You're going to get wrapped up in it, the weight of it. I don't know. Like, I kind of looked it up and I couldn't find a definitive answer of like World War II paratroopers. Like, what they fucking land in the water. They got 70 fucking pounds of stuff on them. Like, they fucked.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't like the idea of skydiving anyway,
No,
but
I like
I
the
have no
idea.
desire to do it. I really don't.
I think it's one of those. I would never like do it, agree to do it, but I wish someone would make me do it because it would be fucking fun. I'd like just seeing the world like that would just would be like just nutty. Like, but I just I would be so fucking scared shitless.
You'd have to do a tandem one. You can't just be like these dudes just hoying themselves out of a plane.
I don't think they'll let you.
What, like, to do a solo one?
Yeah, you can't do a solo, like, if it's your first time. I think you have to have, like, a certain amount of, like,
things. Always
got to
be tandem. But it's just, I think I'd be too scared to do it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so speaking of scared, the insurance policy video, Bodhi has, looking like a snuff film here of Tyler tied up, zooming in creepily on, I believe that's Rosie.
Yes.
With the gun to her.
Yeah, and this sort of just took me by surprise because I think I was comparing this too much to Fast and the Furious, where I thought, oh, we're going to end up like joining the gang and, you know, they're good guys, really. I know they're robbing banks, but they're not killing anyone. They're not super bad. They're just getting money. And I thought, okay, I can get behind it if he wants to join their gang eventually. And then this happened and it really took me by surprise.
Well, I guess they killed the people. That's later. That's right. That's right. That's later. Yeah. The Bosch one.
At this point, we didn't have anyone.
And that was a big change about the Fast and Furious. Like you said, was he actually gets in and starts to like them. But again, the trick to that one was they were stealing DVD players, you know, and while they had guns and they were terrorizing like truck drivers, they weren't killing anybody. They weren't putting guns to dozens of people's heads. You know, anything like that. So it made it a little bit more sympathetic in that movie. Because you're right here. It's just, I have no sympathy for like Bodhi and them.
No.
Like
no.
at all.
Especially like after this moment, I was like, oh, they're shitheads. Okay.
Oh,
now
yeah.
I want them to die.
Yeah. Then especially now it's personal to a character. You know, it's not just random NPCs that they would have down and terrorizing there. Mm-hmm. And this is another thing too that turned me on like Bodhi here. Bodhi says he hates violence. He could never hold a knife to Tyler's throat. Oh, but he could have someone else do it instead.
Yes, that's the worst of the worst.
Oh my God!
I don't want to do it, but I'll pay someone else to do it.
I could never do violence against somebody. But yeah, if someone will do it in my name and for my interests, and I'm okay with that. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah, Ned Stark would not be happy with this.
No, do it yourself. Yeah, that would, there's just like, oh, all the spiritual shit is just like, no. And we'll see later. You fucking kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kill somebody there. Yeah, he becomes a motherfucker here. All right, so the bank robbery time, they're blackmailing Johnny along with it. He goes in with no mask. That was kind of smart of them. I kind of like that. Where they're like, you're going to come in and you're going to be busted. Like, you're done. Your FBI career is done, which apparently I guess it is because at the end he kind of does it himself. But it's really kind of sort of maybe not done. And they're going to hit the vault and it's just like, ooh, that's new.
This is not the plan.
Calling the audible.
Up until then, they've just done the cash register so they can get in and out 90 seconds. And it's always worked for them. They've never had to kill anyone. They've never had to even shoot anyone. And for some reason, he goes off-piste for this one and they go to the vault.
Yeah, so I think he did it. A couple reasons I think he did it. One, this is going to be it. Like, this is the last one. Like, this guy,
they're
this
getting out of here.
They're getting out. This FBI agent now, like, knows who you are. They're either going to have to kill that guy, like, they're going to have to kill Johnny, or they're going to have to just get away. And we see that they're going to do that. They're flying to Mexico, I think, is where they jump out. And I think that's what it is. This is just the last hurrah. But not telling your guy, like, not telling the partners, like, his group that you're going to do that, that's really sick. Fucking stupid.
Yes. And they would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for that dastardly cop.
Yeah, that cop, and then he dragged that security guard in with him.
I was so annoyed at this whole thing.
Yeah, but like, hey, idiot robbers, like, the cop still had a gun on his ankle. And it's like, whenever you have the security guard had a gun on his ankle, it's like, yeah, you need to frisk them. You need to take their weapons so what happens doesn't happen. Like, I get a random having it.
Yeah.
Like, and again, like, fucking America, like, come rob a bank in Texas, even though you cannot have guns. You cannot have guns in banks.
Okay.
Like, obviously, like, I was a cop, and I'm sure there's differences for cops in that sense. But like, even state like Texas, which is open carry, like, you cannot,
banks not allowed.
You cannot bring a gun into a bank. Yeah. But that's like the whole, like, if you want to call it like a hypocrisy or whatever, is like, Texas will be like, we're the most open carry freedom state. You know, like you don't even need a license. You can carry it on your hip. Oh, but you can't carry it into government buildings. Can't carry it to the state capitol per se. You know, you can't, you still can't do these certain things. And it's just like
why not? What are you scared of?
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. They don't want them there. They don't want the guns in the capitol building where they go to work, but they can be everywhere else.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. But, yeah. The one of the guys on the ground is a cop. He makes his move and, man, he's got main character aim because he just boom, boom, blasts two of them Jokers right away. Actually, three. He shoots Johnny. Shoots Johnny and then shoots Nathaniel and Roach.
Yeah, he really is. He came to play. Like, he got all of them out in one go. Only they hadn't been wearing the Kevlar vest.
Yeah, but he ended up taking out... Oh, that's right. What's-his-face dies there. He got one of them shot in the neck. Yeah, he calls him a brother. I don't know if it's actually his brother. It just means like a brother.
I didn't know if it was like bra.
Like bro, yeah.
Bra, yeah. But it isn't made clear.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but yeah, Bodie, Bodie shoots him. So he didn't have a vest or a vest in his back either or something like that.
No, like so, this is where it all goes really grim.
Yeah.
And then I'm just left, you know, any scene like this just leaves me flabbergasted. And I'm just like, why? Why are we in this situation where someone's trying to rob a bank and now three people are dead? And it's guns. Obviously, it's guns. And then even like the FBI raid earlier, where it's like, I know it's a serious thing because they're like, they've got drugs and stuff there. But why is someone being shot in the forehead it seems like it gets taken to 11 quickly?
That's right. Yeah. Pappas, that guy had the woman. As hostage,
and he gets shot right in the forehead. I was like, whoa.
Not only these people
are dead now.
Dude, he has like a fucking mag. He has like a revolver. And I'm like, you shoot someone in the head with a fucking revolver like that right there, his head is exploding.
I couldn't believe it.
And then to have that kind of aim with a revolver is nuts, because I've shot a couple revolvers before, and my God. The kick is insane. His did have a little bit of a longer barrel, but I've shot a snub-nosed pistol, like a snub-nosed revolver. Like, I'm not joking. You could not shoot anybody. I don't believe you could shoot anybody accurately with that beyond like 20 feet. Like, hell, maybe not even like 10 or 15. That fucking thing, I remember shooting it and it going like 10 to 15 feet in every different direction. I'm like,
I have no idea how to figure out the path it's going to take.
I would never feel comfortable shooting that, like, period. I can just imagine someone like in the room and I just like a fucking comedy movie where I just unload the five shots. And just, they're just like, oh, no.
That's what I mean as well, because he's shooting him to protect this woman. And I thought, you could easily just accidentally shoot her.
And then be like, oh, I had no choice.
I had to do it, man. She's naked.
All right. So we get to the airport. Oh, no. Pappas has a funny line before he punches out Harp at John C. McGinley.
Yeah.
He says he was in the bureau when Harp was still popping zits and jacking off to the lingerie section of Sears catalog. Sears is a department store here. So obviously it's not even Victoria's Secret.
Like a glamour model or anything. No, it's just a regular woman.
It's the most mundane Sears, like mom lingerie. And then he slugs him and I have in there, well, there goes his career. Little did I know that he would not make it out of the next scene.
Yeah.
So they get to the airport, they're trying to fly away, and I think he's being facetious here, but Johnny goes, hey, this new thing called radar, maybe you've heard of it. And I'm like, hold up, radar had been around since like the 30s or 40s.
He must have been winding them up.
I was literally typing in like, how dated is this movie? A new thing called radar. I'm like, wait a minute, no, there was definitely radar in World War II. So I think he's just being like, hey, this new thing called radar, idiot.
Yeah, we're like, there's no way you can get away from this. Like, it's endgame.
Yeah, but he knows don't go above 4,000 feet, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't know that myself.
Oh, yeah, no, I knew that because, like, low altitude drops. I think it's like a halo drop, like military and whatnot. You have to fly so low. You have to fly under radar, which obviously is dangerous as shit because, one, people can see you.
Yeah.
And obviously it's easier with anti-aircraft fire, but you have to drop that low so the radar doesn't pick it up, and to have like an immediate like 1,000, 2,000 foot drop like straight. That's what the halo drop is.
They do it in Top Gun Maverick as well.
Do they?
Yeah. Top Gun. Have you seen it?
Have not.
Oh, it's actually so good.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's so good. And they have to fly really low and it's scary.
Yeah. None of that for me. No thanks.
Oh,
I do
Top
see
Gun.
It. I see it all the fucking time, though, at the Air Force, the Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base over in Fort Worth. A lot of times just out there, like groceries or whatnot, and you just hear like a fucking sonic boom.
Crazy.
And, like, fucking jets just right outside there. Mm-hmm. So I did not see this coming. Pappas gets fucking killed. Like,
yeah.
Roach shoots him and he gets fucking shotgunned to the back. Another one there. I'm like, holy shit. Like, I was shocked that he died.
Yeah, same. I couldn't believe, like, fucking everybody dies apart from the two main guys. But I didn't think they would kill him off.
I did not think so either. I thought it was just going to be, I don't know. But maybe that's another reason why this is so well received, because that shocked me. I was like, oh, damn, yes. I liked him.
Mm-hmm. I thought he would probably get, like, injured and he'd maybe go and retire, just like Keanu told him to at the start of the film. And fucking killed him.
To the movie's credit for pulling the rug out from us, I thought the same. I thought when he got shot, it's going to be one of those, like, oh, I'm fine, I'll call in. You go get him. And then maybe later, like that last scene when it's them two, you know, they're done, because he punches Harp like he's fucking out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's them two track down Bodhi. And then they both can throw their badges and go off. Like, yeah, that would have been usually I'm like, I don't want the nice ending like that. I usually want something, because we don't ever see it. And when we finally get one, I'm like, no, I want the nice ending.
Oh,
I'm just going to bitch.
This?
Yeah. I'm just going to complain. I do like that better. I would have liked it, though, because then he could have opened it up for these sequels. Goddamn,
the
I love Gary Busey.
I know.
I think Gary Busey, is he the bad guy in Lethal Weapon? Fuck, is that the first one? He's a bad guy in one of the Lethal Weapons where he's just fucking insane. It's awesome. He's great.
I need to watch him more stuff.
Yeah, we need to do more stuff that he's in. Obviously, it's going to be nutty 80s stuff, so you know it's going to be good.
Oh, he was in the 70s version of A Star is Born.
Was he really?
Wow.
Interesting. There's no way he sings. Like, I will not believe that he's a singer. Like, okay.
Dude, Gary Busey's Bobby Ritchie, so I don't think he's...
Okay. Another movie. I haven't seen any of them either.
Mm.
But now that song is in my head. The Lady Gaga version is now.
Lady Gaga is just so good.
Yeah, that song is just, it's a good one.
Awesome.
All right, so Pappas is dead. Roach has two slugs in him on the plane. He's really cold, and he's got to jump to all those señoritas and majaritas.
This is so insane. Like, why is he doing this to his friend that is so close to dying?
Well, he doesn't make it, so he dies somewhere on the jump to landing on the ground, because, they go pick his corpse, and then he's gone. He's a buzzard food.
They just leave him.
No time.
And this is when I just have zero time for Bodhi anymore, because I think you're a real shithead.
Yeah, it's fascinating, because what I would have remembered out of this, and definitely email us or Discord or whatever, if you've seen this movie, like, from years ago in that sense, because... What I would have remembered out of this was people liking Bodhi. And I like this Patrick Swayze. Like, Patrick Swayze is fucking awesome. But, like, this is bad. And the character is supposed to be bad. And they're making him bad. And I'm just fascinated. Do people like Bodhi? Were they rooting for him?
Oh, surely not.
No. Like, I can understand rooting for Toretto in Fast and Furious.
Yep.
Because, one, they did more with his character, 100% more with his character. They were with it more than here. That was more about the family thing that hit on. This was definitely about the FBI aspect of it. So I get that. But, I don't know. Like, I don't want him to get away here at all.
No, it needs to be over. Like, it's so grim. Everything that he's done in this last 30 minutes of the film is so awful.
And his all his bros are all fucking dead.
His bruh.
The bruh. Are dead here. As we'll find out, not yet. Rosie got died in a knife fight.
Oh, yeah.
In Mexico. We'll get to there. All right. So when they jump, though, I was gonna say they jump away to freedom. Oh no, wait, never mind. Johnny grabs a revolver, yells "fuck it," and then jumps after them with no chute.
This is the most insane thing I've ever seen. I was literally gobsmacked. Like, smacked my hand on my face. Couldn't believe what I was watching. So I was just like, what is happening here? So then I was writing down my theories. I was like, how is he going to survive this? I thought he was going to land on the dead guy and take the dead guy's chute off of him. And then
okay.
That was my theory. But then
when you said land on the dead guy, I thought you meant on the ground. And I'm like, no, Lucy, I don't think.
Like a, like a safety net of
don't
a human.
Physics work like that.
No,
aim for
no,
the
I
dead body.
I thought he was going to try and catch the dead body.
Yeah. Oh,
and
no,
then
no.
Take the,
That's a good
take
idea.
The shoot. But no, he jumps on Patrick Swayze instead.
Yeah, and they have this little mano y mano thing. Who's going to blink first? Eventually, Johnny blinks first.
Yeah, gets rid of the gun.
Pulls the ripcord, and holy shit, I felt like my knees busted when they landed on the ground. Like, that was a real landing from... I saw where Patrick Swayze was doing his own, like, always wanted to do his own stunts, his own fight. He did the surfer, the surfing scenes. He broke four ribs, like, all that. Did like 50 or 60 takes of surfing. There is no fucking way that that is Patrick Swayze landing like that. Because those look like real fucking people in an actual landing. And oh my God, it was that hard.
The knees. I just thought, my knees. It looks so painful.
But again, like, it's maybe for good reason, because that looked really unsafe.
Yeah, so it really did.
Maybe for good reason, but you don't see that anymore. Everything just looks so, like, fake, even if it's a real landing.
Mm-hmm. Everything looks so well choreographed.
It looks so choreographed, and that looked like two guys just landed and crumpled on the fucking ground.
Yeah, it looked like you can't watch that without like wincing.
Oh man, I literally
it was in a bit of slow motion as well, so it kind of reminded me of, you know, sometimes if you're watching like a football match, and they'll do you see an injury and they'll do it in slow motion replay. I'm like, no, I don't want to see someone's knee bending backwards again.
Well, that's amazing, because the reason it hit for me more is that I didn't think it was in slow motion. It felt like it was in real time, which is what took me back. Because if it was in slow motion, to me, it would have lost the effect. Because the real time is what did it. But maybe, I don't know, unless I saw it wrong, or maybe you saw it in slow motion because you were like, oh no, it slowed down for you because your knees started.
I'm going to have to watch it back now, and I'm going to go back to that kid's YouTube channel and see what it did.
Not quite like sped up. I think when, like, last week's episode with The World's End, when we talked about Simon Pegg, when he landed on the car, that might have been sped up for effect.
folded.
Oh, that could have been it. All right, so Tyler gets released, though, and back into the arms of Johnny. She didn't really do much this movie, did she? Like, her character.
No, it annoyed me that she became a damsel in distress, because she was she was so good at the start, where she was just giving Johnny shit. She was teaching him how to serve, telling him that he ain't shit, all this. And then she just ended up becoming like a regular action movie trope.
It's so weird, because I feel like Fast and Furious did so many things better than this. And that Jordana Brewster's character, Mia Toretto, was a lot better than hers. So that was another thing that they did better. Again, that was only 10 years after this, which was 23 years ago. Fast and the Furious 1 was 23 years ago. This was 33 years ago, 19. I know.
Because
because a new one like just came out last year. But it's weird, because I was being like, oh yeah, maybe Fast and the Furious just improved on this, but it's just... But I don't know. I think it's just of the time. I don't know. We'll get there.
That's why they didn't raise the lawsuit. They're like, oh, shit. Okay, yeah, you guys did it better.
Yeah, and then we get my favorite line, and something that is stuck in my head that I will say all the time to people. Not just, like, yo, Johnny, I'll see you in the next life. So good.
It's so stupid.
It's so good.
It is good, but it's like, the way he says it. Shut the fuck up.
Johnny, I'll see you in the next life.
No. I still don't know who's on whose side here. Like, did Johnny let him get away? Like, is he just only cares about Tyler now?
He's not
a cop anymore.
You know, that's true. Maybe it's a men of honor thing. Like, Johnny held up his word, so Bodhi held up his word. And I do think that. I don't think Bodhi was ever going to kill him, because I do think he liked him.
Yeah.
I just think, again, I can't believe I'm saying this, I do think that the Fast and Furious did it better. Why Toretto liked Brian more than why Bodhi likes Johnny. Like, I get it. He was infatuated by a swagger at the beginning. The football thing was another one. It's like, dude, this guy played Ohio State. When they talks about beating SC, that's the University of Southern California, which is in Los Angeles. So that would be a big one around there, obviously. You know what I mean? So I get they kind of did it in there, but I do think that was something that they did not elaborate on as much in this one either.
Yeah, I didn't fully feel like I understood their feelings towards each other ever. Yeah. It didn't even wrap up at the end. I was never sure.
Like, he liked her. We get Johnny liked Tyler, but like, why is he infatuated with, I get maybe like with Bodhi, but he never ingratiated himself to everybody else. It's so weird. I'm talking about all this stuff like wrong or that is worse than like Fast and the Furious, but I'm almost positive I'm going to rate this better.
It is better. Yeah, it's bizarre though.
It is weird. Yeah. Well, we don't have to have rational reason in our tier list ratings. All right, so they get away. All right, the movie's over. Oh, no, it's not, because we head down under for this.
Yeah, what the fuck? Now we're in Australia.
For this 50-year storm. They brought it up earlier.
Talked about it.
Once-in-a-lifetime storm. He tracks Bodhi down this one wave, and they start to fight because he's going to take him in, and Johnny handcuffs himself. And Bodhi's pissed as he sees the walls closing in, saying, I'm not going to go to prison, but he convinces Johnny to ride that one last wave.
Yep, and he lets him go. And I wrote, what the fuck? What? Dude, what is happening, bro? I don't understand, but he's cut his hair and he looks double handsome.
Yeah, he looks so different.
He looks so freaking handsome.
You think so?
And Johnny's let his hair grow out and it looks worse.
They both look about 10 years older.
Yep, and Patrick Swayze looks super handsome.
Which is weird because Patrick Swayze was 39 when this came out. And so... That's what I'm saying. Like, he looks younger with the long hair. So now he looks like he's like late 30s. Older. He looks so much younger, which is so weird because usually everybody looks older.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he looked younger than I would say 39.
I think so too. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought he was that age.
Did I? Yeah. I talked about his cancer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, I was like, I had to have said that already, right? Okay.
Yeah. Because I said I didn't realize he was dead.
Yeah. That's right. All right, so, but he lets him go because he knows that Bodhi is not coming back from that wave. Nor does Bodhi want to come back from that wave.
Yes, because he wants to go out like, what was the quote? Sorry, what was the quote?
That you want the ultimate, got to pay the ultimate price, and it's not tragic if you die doing what you love.
There we go.
And that was
That was it. Yeah, that's what he decided to do.
Yeah, he dies doing what he loves, and they're like, oh, we're getting him, he comes in, and then, just like a shot from the end of Fast and the Furious, it's him walking kind of towards the camera right to the left of it, but with a flick of his wrist, he flicks his badge into the ocean.
Ooh.
And fin.
There we go.
There it is. Point Break 1991. All right. All right. So here comes our final thoughts in the tier list rating. Do you know what you're going to have yours at?
I think so.
Okay, go ahead.
I think I'm going to put this as an A. Because I didn't come away from it cheering and screaming and thinking this movie's like changed my life. I love it so much. I could watch it over and over again. But I thought it was an incredible action film. I can completely understand why it's a classic. I'm so happy that it's directed by Kathryn Bigelow and that she's just an awesome 90s action director and just continues to kill it. And yeah, I think it's great. And I would highly recommend that everybody watch it.
See, this is also where, like, to do this tier list, because I have it in A also for like, but I have it as an A is for a movie. Okay. But if someone was like, man, I want to watch an 80s, 90s action movie, this is a fucking S tier. 80s, 90s action movie.
Perfect. Yeah.
And so if we're judging it based on what it is and what it's trying to do, it's a fucking S tier. And so I know we've talked about this so many times, and because again, we never really narrow it down what it is. That's kind of where I'm at on it. So it's like this A to S, you know, because to me, like, this is about as good as it gets for those 80s, 90s. I'll put it up there with like your Lethal Weapons and whatnot like that. And so I don't know. But yeah, as far as like on itself, it'd be an A because we've talked about certain things that we just didn't like or they could have done a lot better. And so that I get it, but man, if you want to shut your fucking brain off, there's a big reason you talked about already why Hot Fuzz has it, like this and like Bad Boys 2 are the ones that really stuck out.
So fucking iconic, that they had to put it in their love letter to action films.
Yeah, because they're dumb, and I mean that as a compliment in that sense. It is a dumb action thriller that is just so of its fucking time. And so the A to S tier for me, it can straddle it for that.
Yeah, and then we don't care about physics. We don't care about, you know,
logic or reason. No
logic. Fuck that. Yes, he's going to jump out of a plane saying, fuck it. Like, that's just the epitome of this film, I think.
Yeah, the movie 1996 Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger has a scene where he has to jump out of a plane and catch up to
So insane.
To a parachute that's flying on its own. Like a parachute's falling on itself, nothing's attached to it, and he has to catch up to it. And then, oh, we're going to watch that movie. Fuck, I love that movie. All right. We need to do like fucking straight Arnold like.
Action month.
Just Arnold month. It's all month. I need. Yeah. Perfect. Like Arnold fucking season. Like, you can be like throwing all that shit in there. All right. That's going to do it. Point Break 1991. Lucy, where can we find you?
Oh, you'll find me at Lucy J. Robin on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, most of the other social medias as well.
Right on. You can find me on Discord down there again. If you're into Helldivers 2, get in there. We are playing. Yeah. I will have to play a lot less of it because I have to go back to school and my spring break is over. Boo, I know. So I'll have to make time for it. But next week, we are getting into April with the new theme. It is going to be History Month. We're doing history movies, and we're going to start it off with a history movie that I have never seen, and I think it's going to shock people because of when this came out, how old I was. But we're going to start off History Month with 300.
Yeah, we are. I don't know how many times I've seen this film.
Yep, and I think we already put that in there, the one. You can tell how many times someone's gay by how many times they've seen 300. And I think, Lucy,
I'm so gay.
You are gay by how many times you've seen it. All right. So, yeah, that'll be a first viewing for me. Zack Snyder, you know, oh boy.
Gerard Butler.
Oh, Lena, my God. Two people, like Gerard Butler. God, I can't stand him. Oh, I can't. I can't wait for it, though. Can't
Shut
wait for
up.
It, though.
Can you not?
I really don't. He's
terrible. We'll get into it next week.
He's terrible. Him and Ryan Reynolds. Awful.
He's handsome.
They're both handsome and they're both terrible. So, all right. So until next week with 300 in History Month. Bye.
Bye.